Time for Surf and Turf. Alternating Thursdays at this time, we get reports from our oceans guy, Boris Vorm, and about the rest of our wild kingdom from Andrew Hepta at the Museum of Natural History. This week, goodwill toward fish.
Under the sea, darling, it's better down where it's wetter, take it from me. Up on the shore, they work all day, out in the sun, they slave away. While we devoting full time to floating under the sea.
Well, for a lot of people, the spirit of Christmas is all about helping someone less fortunate. And for some, those efforts extend to our non-human companions, cats and dogs, other pets, or abandoned animals. And for a very few, even a fish is a worthy recipient of charity. Boris Vorm just returned from the tropical Pacific and has a story about people going out of their way to save the life of a fish. He studies the oceans at Dalhousie University. Welcome back to Main Street, Boris. Nice to see you.
Good to be back.
So where exactly did this story happen?
So this happened in Raja Ampat, which is the area in West Papua, Indonesia, where I was about a month ago. And I was diving there, and I saw a lot of different fish, big fish, small fish. And one of the most remarkable fish you see out there, which actually occurs in quite an abundance, this area is famous for it, is called the manta ray. It's a giant ray which tries to be a whale, basically. So it's evolved a pelagic lifestyle and lives in the open water, and it filters plankton. Now, I came back from this one dive, and I met these divers at the resort where we were anchoring, and they were just all shaken up and almost teary. And I said, "What was going on?" And they said, "Well, we had the most incredible experience of our life." And what happened was they dove at this spot called Manta Point, and there were a number of mantas there, and one of them happened to be entangled quite badly in fishing line. It couldn't actually quite move, and it seemed constricted. So they approached it to help this animal. Now, you must know, mantas are pretty shy. So when you see them, you stay low to the ground. You do not try to move a whole lot. They move off very quickly. And this animal, though, let the divers approach. And not only that, it went from its usual flying position into an upright position in the water. So it stood up, if you will, so they could better access it. And as if it knew what they were up to, which was untangling the animal, which took a while, 10, 15 minutes. Three men were working on it. The animal held perfectly still. It had a big fishing hook in its belly. They removed the hook. The animal shuddered, but still held still, didn't panic, until it was completely disentangled. And then it went slowly back into flying position and went around them, and they thought it would take off. But it circled them and touched each one of them with its wings, which is unheard of. And then it took off. And they were there bewildered. One of the guys was crying into his mask. And the animal came back three times and did the same thing over and over again, touching each one with its wingtips, and then disappeared.
And what did they make of that?
Oh, they were just, they were speechless. And these were people with thousands of dives, really experienced divers, tough guys, you know, not your tree or fish-hugging companion. And they were just speechless. And it took a while for me to get all the details out of them, because for me it's, you know, it's a very moving story, but it's also biologically interesting because it means these animals have some form of consciousness and some idea of how to interact with somebody in something that closely resembles gratefulness.
And so that's how they interpreted it, as gratitude for what they'd done.
Absolutely. And they said the animal looked them straight in the eye the whole time, and they felt a connection with the animal, and it was doing deliberately what it was doing. It wasn't an accident or kind of just tumbling around. It was very deliberate.
And out of character.
And out of character. They said it was like an individual in front of them that was thanking them for their deed.
Well, have there been other cases of that kind of interaction recorded before, where animals have been saved and been thankful?
Yes, there have very few. Now, manta rays, you must know that they're a fish, they're a ray, but they have a very large brain, actually the largest brain-to-body ratio of any of the cartilaginous fishes, the sharks and rays. And so they have evolved some behavior like that. And I've heard one other instance from the Red Sea, similar incident, a diver approaches an animal that's partly entangled around its mouth parts. And in this case, actually, another diver observed how he was cutting the animal loose, and looking the animal straight in the eye the whole time, kind of communicating that everything was okay, the animal held still. But what he didn't realize is that the giant, like 4 meter wings of the animal were closing around him like in an embrace. And the other divers basically saw him disappear in this animal and were like freaking out. But it was a gentle gesture, and then the animal, you know, once it was freed, it went off, and same thing. And it reminded me of a story I heard about. Whales do this too. There was a story in the media a few years ago of California where a humpback whale was entangled and weighed down by many hundreds of kilos of crab pods and struggling to keep afloat. And a bunch of divers went out and they worked for hours freeing the animal. The animal, same thing, held perfectly still, looked them in the eye the whole time. And then once it was freed, it kind of did a few joyous dives, ups and downs and wiggles, and then went to each one of them, true story, and nuzzled them.
Wow.
Each one of them deliberately, and looked at them and took off.
That's very powerful.
I'd say so, because it tells us something. It tells us there's somebody out there. You know, this is to me the deeper message. We're not alone on this planet. There are these other non-human companions who to some extent feel like we do. And we're used to see this in a dog, you know, who's happy getting his food or getting petted. You know, you get some element of gratefulness, but wild animals, still the same, even a fish.
Mm. And it's hopeful because we're so often in conflict with the natural world to know that we can have those kinds of interactions too.
That's true, and maybe we should get more attentive to that part. And there can be real cooperations. Yesterday, in researching this theme, I read this incredible paper about a fishing cooperative between fishermen and dolphins in Brazil, a little town called Laguna in Brazil. And this has been going on for more than 100 years, so several generations of people and dolphins who have co-evolved, if you will, this cooperative of fishing mullet, a medium-sized fish, in very turbid waters where the fishermen can't see them, but the dolphins can because they have echolocation. But the fishermen have nets, and so they work together. The dolphins drive the fish into the net, and the net confuses the fish that the ones that get out of the net are kind of disoriented, and so the dolphins get those as leftovers. And the dolphins initiate it, so the dolphins tell the fishermen when to come, basically, by doing certain behaviors. And they even tell them where the fish is relative to where they're standing with the net, so they're throwing it in the right direction, how big the school is, by kind of how agitated they behave, and also the timing when they should throw the net. Hmm. It's all there.
It's phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Like, it sounds like a science fiction story, but it's real. It's going on right now, all over the world, probably.
Sure. So what does that make you think about, the way that we so often treat all animals, but I'm thinking fish and the creatures in the water?
Well, our typical interaction is to mindlessly kill them. And or torture them and then release them. So I'm getting more critical of this as I learn about these things, because you wonder what else is out there. When a fish feels like that, how about a highly involved invertebrate like an octopus, which has very elaborate behavior, big brain, some capability for social interaction. Hal Whitehead here at Dal studies whales and the culture of whales. So whales seem to be the only animals we know of right now, non-human animals, that have developed real culture, language, dialects, certain ways of behaving that are transmitted from clan to clan, and they have these cultural exchanges. And you really wonder what else is out there. And I think we have to view our non-human companions on this ocean very differently as we learn these things.
Boris, thanks very much for telling us this story.
Thank you very much. And I'd like to take the opportunity to wish all our listeners a Merry Christmas. And it's been great telling everybody about the ocean, and I hope we can continue this in the new year. Thanks very much.
I hope so, too. Boris Worm is our oceans guy. Next week on Surf and Turf, Turf Talk with Andrew Hebda from the Nova Scotia Museum of Natural History.